It's time for Wisdom on Replay with Nostra Thomas and Coach Jim. Wisdom on Replay is brought to you by Levy Steel, the Candywood Wine Cellar, and Cafe 422. Here's your host, Nostra Thomas and Coach Jim.
And welcome back. Wisdom on Replay, Nostra Thomas, Coach James, and our special guest, Joe Campagna.
What's happening, Tommy? How's everything with you today?
Everything's good. A little windy out there.
Joe, how was your trip in?
My trip in?
Yeah, you were a busy bee, you said, driving in.
Yeah, I was. A lot of phone calls, a lot of talking right now. It's that time of the year for me, at least.
The life of a ball player in the off season. Now the business part comes in.
Yeah, this is when the business really comes in.
Absolutely. So what we were going to try and do today, everybody listening,
finish up from last week.
Right, yeah. We got going so good, and it was such a good interview. We were like, oh, we got to have Joe on a second time. And we're going to cover... Tommy's going to ask him some vital questions because, like, I want to, Tommy's a little more insightful as to what the every man wants to hear. I would probably put it in more baseball speak, and a lot of people wouldn't understand. So, yeah. You know, I'd overtalk the crowd. So I wanted him and Tommy to also strike up a relationship because Joe's like family to us. So, yep. Tommy, do your magic, brother. Fire away. Ask him what you want to ask him.
Well, before we get into your story that needs to be continued, because when we left last time, you told me there was some ups and downs, maybe some crash and burns. So I think everyone needs to hear that story, because it's not all goody gumdrops getting to your dream spot, believe me. So I know that. But, you know, as I was watching the games, last couple of games, I'm watching Mookie Betts struggle, okay? And I think it was Big Poppy was talking about different ways when you're in a slump, trying to do too many things different than when you get that mental aspect in it. Because I know when I was playing, when I was on, I could swing by my back and get a hit. Yep. But when you start slumping, or you hit a couple balls in the nose and somebody makes a great catch, and now you're thinking, oh my gosh, I'm 0-2 now. Now, for me, I would... then become so determined that I would grip the bat a little tighter. Mm-hmm. Now I'm switching my stance a little bit. Now I'm swinging at balls I shouldn't be swinging at and pressing. And then it becomes a mental game. It's a lot like golf with the swing. It can change. Your hands change a little bit. Yep. So they were showing Betts. He's all of a sudden changing his hands a little bit. He's trying all these different things. And once it just keeps going, it spirals out. So I was just wanting to know your thoughts on that. When you get in a slump, you know, what do they tell you? I remember our coach telling me, just throw your hands at the ball.
Yeah.
You know, when it gets down to where you're, you know, struggling, just throw your hands at the ball. Make some good contact with the barrel on the ball, and then go from there. But go ahead. I want to hear, you know, what's going on.
Yeah,
with you.
Yeah, no. So the first thing that goes is confidence. It's the first thing that goes out the
door.
Horrible
thing to go.
Yeah, and the faster you can get that under control, the faster that you can get back and really start attacking the game again and try to find that, you know, that flow state that we talk about.
And it carries right out to the defensive part.
It does.
Because then you make a strike three, now you let your team down, you can't find your glove because you're mad, you're over there swearing to yourself. By the time you get out in the field, your mind is not, and here comes a ground ball right at you.
Yeah, yeah.
So it carries.
The good thing with, at least in pro ball, is that it is every day, so you can start to, you know that the next day is coming.
People forget real easy.
Yeah, some guys. I mean, you know, at that level, yeah, Mookie knows that, guess what, he's on a million-dollar contract.
And the fans will forget. You come up with a 4-for-4 game.
Right.
Okay, all's well.
Right, right. So, you know, it's, you know, the pressure's on right now, and for some reason, I really can't answer that, but Mookie, his confidence is shot just because he's been in a little slump.
I think it's because he moved to shortstop.
That was gonna be my chirp in.
So Mookie is a very good athlete, and I mean the dude goes out and bowls 300s, and then he goes and dunks the basketball and everything you see him do. There's always videos of him doing a bunch of crazy stuff from just being an athletic standpoint. So I mean, as far as switching positions, I mean that's what I do. You know, like being a utility guy, I think that honestly might help that, because it presents a new challenge each and every day to where
takes his mind off hitting while he's out there, because you have to be ready to go.
Exactly. Yeah. So right now, the biggest thing I saw with Mookie, though, is that his confidence is shot. And I think if he can just get that back, maybe he needs to go bowl another 300, you know, tonight or something. You know, but he needs to do something to get himself out of it. And that's where it all starts and ends, in my opinion.
If he runs into one, he'll be back to Mookie. The thing about it, too, is, again, if you watch, they're attacking him up in the zone, like way up in the zone, him and Freeman, and they're both belly button to knees guys. If you watch the arc of their swing when they take dry swings, they're going uphill a little bit. And these guys are attacking that. And at law percentages, you know.
Yeah.
Otani, like Joe, you know that. I mean, even in the levels, you know, some of these guys, they watch somebody once and they can dismantle you in a hurry. And like I said, the Blue Jays have enough guys that get it in the upper 90s, letter high. That, you know, that's no matter who you are, that's a hard pitch to attack, to get to. Nobody's been, you know, that's their sole source of success. It's kind of literally, you know, no pun intended, hit and miss. And like I said, if you notice that, he's popping up because he's just going, you know, just going uphill, him and Freddie, and they're getting it. Getting dealt to.
Yeah, I think he's getting away from his approach, too. I mean, when you start to struggle, you start to lose confidence, but you lose faith in your approach and what you're trying to get done. You know, if you let the pitcher dictate how you approach every single at bat, well, you know, you might start to struggle because now you're playing his game. You're not playing yours.
For sure.
You know, they always say capitalize on the mistakes that the pitchers make, not, hey, let's see what this guy is going to throw, and then try to react to it. Mm-hmm. You know, then you're caught in a hole.
and there's certain laws of baseball.
You're down to guessing.
Yeah, exactly.
Certain laws of baseball that are inevitable. One of them is you hear it and hear it, and nobody does it. And you watch Toronto; they dismantled the best teams in baseball. They don't strike out a lot.
Ernie Clement put
the ball in play. Oh, Ernie Clement made a career now. You know, he was what up and down three times in the big leagues. And now the guy, he looks like he's an all-star because they put the ball in play. You know what I mean? What I mean by that is you don't see him strike out a lot. They'll foul balls off all day long. They're not going for the long ball. Too many teams in the game now, guys are hitting 230 with 40 home runs, but they can't hit a ground ball to right side to move a runner. And you've seen that in the extra innings games. You know, first and second, no outs. Guys can't drop a bunt. Guys can't hit a ground ball to the right side. And the other night, what was it? In the 18-inning game, they had a guy at third, no outs. Pop up, fly ball.
Yeah.
You know.
Swinging at the first pitch. I mean, really.
Exactly.
Yeah.
You know, so let's get into your situation now. I want to hear some good.
Where's the career at, Joe? That's the way to get out of it.
Where we left off and where you're at now finish up the show.
Where did we leave off?
We left off at All Good Stuff.
I think you're talking about your integration with the Rockies.
Yeah.
Hurdle.
Okay.
You know, Jace, all those guys that organization.
We left off at the fairy tale of where all of a sudden everything comes together and we live happily ever
with
after.
A big smile on our face.
And I get and I'm smiling and I got signed. Yeah.
Yay.
So that's where we left off. Well, you know, I hate to be a downer, but it took a turn.
What a shock. It turned
really fast. I ended up getting down to spring training. And I kind of hid this fact, and I needed surgery on my hip. It was really bad. My hip was, when I say agonizing pain, I had a torn labrum, and so this is all my right hip. I had a torn labrum in the right hip. I had like really, really bad hip impingement. So the bone was literally rubbing on bone the whole time. And then, I actually had somehow a piece of my pelvis, like a bone chip off of my pelvis, was in the socket. So every time that I would turn and move around, it would look like a shark tooth. It would cut and wreak havoc. But I played through that for about a year and a half. But it got to the point where it was really, really bad. And, you know, I think that took a toll on my head, too. So, like, I was really dealing.
Plus, it alters your movements and your swing.
Yes. So I was really dealing with that. They put me with the AAA group when I was down there in spring training.
Which is unheard of. For a guy to get signed like that, and you're one step from the big leagues, that's a Yeah. Unbelievable endorsement of Joe and
what
he's done in the game.
I was assigned to rookie ball. I was assigned there, but
they didn't keep you there long.
The group they put me with was AAA, and I went with AA for some games too and everything. Oh. That was good. But it was agonizing, and I was not, just my hip was, and I was not in a good mind space because of that and just some other personal stuff. I was really going through it. And, you know, I ended up walking into the office the one day because I had to miss some time because I couldn't do anything. It got to the point where it was that bad, and they were like, all right, well, here, why don't we do this? They're like, why don't you sign your retirement papers, go get fixed, and then if you want to come back and do it, whatever, you let us know. So I said, all right, that's fine. So I went home. Honestly, I got some therapy, did some good stuff for my brain. And I'm not ashamed of that at all. You know, I think everybody goes through some stuff, not even just in the sports world, but everybody goes through some stuff that they might need some help with, and that's fine.
The brain flu. You know, we'd talk about that a lot. Like, people look at that like it's some level of, that there's a shame.
You can always pray. I know people might laugh
there's
at
a
that,
lot of ways. There's a lot of ways.
I believe in that.
Yeah, yeah, I mean, you know, my faith definitely is what brought me through all of it.
Yep.
So, you know, I had a lot of time to pray after I got the surgery because all I was doing was sitting there.
A lot of time to complain, pray, or pray?
Yeah, a little bit of both. But you learn how to turn the
complaints. I do a lot of complain praying.
Yeah, you learn how to do that.
God says, oh, my gosh,
he
is again.
No. Carl, can you believe that? Unbelievable.
Here comes another wish list from Tom. Here we go.
You learn how to turn that into actually thankful prayer, even though it's you know, stuff that you don't really think is necessarily good.
I agree.
So fast forward to January of 24 then. So this was 23. January of 24 came around. It was all rehabbed. Everything was good. Hip was fine. Hip felt amazing. And I called them back, and they're like, hey. They're like, yeah, why don't you hang on for a little bit, and we'll let you know, because we got to make all these cuts, because that's when they were making roster cuts.
Right.
They cut the numbers down. They're like, we got to make 50 cuts. I said, okay, that's a lot.
Boy, that's
so in
a
my
lot.
Head, I'm like, all right, what are the odds here that I even get activated again? So I waited for a month. A month goes by. A month and a half goes by. I didn't hear anything. So I reached back out and was like, hey, listen. I was like, I've had 6 teams in independent ball reach out to me. I don't want to be stuck here in July without a team because they filled out their rosters too. I'm like, what's this looking like? Are you guys actually thinking about bringing me back? What's going on? And they were like, honestly, we really don't know yet. If you can hang on for like maybe 2 more weeks. I was like, all right, guys. I was like, listen, I see how this is going. I was like, really, what are the odds? And they're like, well, we'll just let you go. And then if, you know, we need you back.
There's the odds right there.
Yeah. And I said, all right, there you go. So went back. I actually went back to the Chicago Dogs in the American Association first for about a month, and they didn't even play me. So yeah, that was frustrating in itself. Ugh. So I remember coming back from a road trip, and the manager, this was 4:00 in the morning, and the manager brought me into his office real quick, and he was like, hey, listen, because he promised me the world
whenever
he tried to sign me. And he goes, hey, I feel really bad, he said, for not delivering on my promises, so I'm just going to release you so you can go play somewhere else. And I was like, I said, is that it? He said, yep. I said, have a good one. And I walked out.
That might not be the answer I give that one.
No, yeah. Yeah. But listen, I'm not gonna flip his desk and everything.
Burns at a few bridges
at that point
in my
it was
day.
Yeah. At that point it was over anyways, and I knew it. But then Mark Mason, he signed me in Hagerstown. I went to a better league, the best independent ball league, and finished the year out there in Hagerstown. Played decent, had a decent year. They signed me back at the beginning of this year. And then our manager, Mark, actually ended up getting let go. And we brought in a guy named Shane Turner. He was with the Giants. He was a good guy. I just don't think he really knew what he was getting into with independent ball, because he'd never done it before. And he ended up taking a league that's AAA, right? Like AA, AAA level league. He ended up getting a ton of college guys, and they weren't ready for the league at all. And it ended up being that I actually went in, and we had a good conversation, and we felt that it was best that they would trade me. So they ended up trading me to Lancaster, and then I went to Lancaster and had a and really,
blew it up.
Really
don't, let him be, let, don't let them be. Don't let them be. He blew it up in Lancaster.
Yes, I ended up having a really good year, and you know, it's been an interesting offseason. You know, I have about seven teams right now that have been contacting
so
me.
So that's where we are currently.
Right now. Yeah, okay. Right now that's where we are. So I have about seven affiliates again contacting me, emailing back and forth, some phone calls. I have a phone call today at some point with a team from Japan, and then and then a couple. An agent from Mexico too. He wanted to talk, so we'll see what happens with that. So,
and that's what a lot of fans don't understand. If you're not in affiliated ball, it now becomes a world game for your employment, and you may be changing jobs a little bit. I know a good friend of mine who's a pitching coach and one of the best pitching coaches in the country. We asked him why he always stayed at this one school. He would never leave, and he had offers from pro ball from everywhere. And he goes, I got about 5 million of them. And we start laughing. What are you talking about? And he took out his kind of his union card from playing in Japan. And he had been in the big leagues, bounced around a little bit, and then he went overseas for 2 years. And American players in Japan get paid. They get a lot because it's a draw. And then two, they've got a different life. They've got a different level of experience, and they usually succeed over there. There's been a lot of players over there, and like Mexico, now that there's leagues in Europe, you know, the Italian league, and that's what baseball's trying to do, is much like the NBA, where it's a world game. The NFL's tried it, it's kind of trickled along. Baseball, it's going a little bit better. The Italian league, like I said, we had players years ago. One of my former business partners went over and played in Italy. They play different. They only play on the weekends.
Yeah, it's a different.
They sit all week and practice.
You get a job during the week.
But they play two. You're either sitting in the cafe, or you play two doubleheaders on Saturday and Sunday.
Yeah, that's a different.
And you get paid to play, but you do not. You practice a little bit during the week.
It ain't enough to help to let you live on.
Right, that's Japan.
No, that's Italy.
That's Italy.
Italy. You have to have
Japan is.
If it's an American,
significant amount of money.
Japan's the other end. If you could play, if you could play six games in a day, they're playing.
Okay, I got you.
You know, they get after.
Thinking that doesn't sound right.
And there's, like I said, there's the Mexican league. There's a ton, and that's what it becomes now. And it becomes, you're almost a mercenary for what is best for your career. And there's a lot of guys that have come back from overseas and figured it out.
As you're talking about these other leagues, how do they make money? I mean, do fans come to these games?
Oh, yeah.
Japan is nuts. Japan, they might get more fans per game than we do.
Oh, wow.
They're fanatical.
Yeah, I mean,
the two places.
They're making, I mean, again, the players in Japan are making millions of dollars.
Well, I knew that, but I was just trying to figure out where their money came from, whether it was the owner or they get fan base, but okay.
Yeah. They are running away outside of the Latin America, like the Dominican. They are the worst place team sells out every night. In Japan,
wow,
and in North and South Korea,
Korea is another.
Oh,
yeah, South Korea is another really good league.
And like when you watch the World Baseball, like I anybody that loves baseball, it should be almost automatic that you have to watch the World Baseball Classic and see the different cultures and how they endorse the game.
It's really
like
cool.
Us, it's, you know, it's a monetary thing. You go to Japan, it's a love thing. Like they, you know, same thing. If you get into the Dominican, and they have different, the culture of the game is different.
It's
there's
all
noise.
Different. The energy is different. Yeah, I mean,
it's crazy.
In Mexico, a couple guys told me that they're playing music during the games. And
the Dominicans
like
that.
And in Japan, apparently they got bands playing and stuff. Like it's different.
Banging on drums
everywhere. Yeah,
like the sound. If you watch it, if any of you have the MLB Network or any of that, and they'll have stuff from over there, you have to watch it and see. And you become much more, you get to see how the game's loved, and it makes you appreciate
the game
more, and how the energy that's put into it. And part of the reason why some of these countries are overtaking us baseball-wise. If you had to pick, Joe, if you had to pick overseas, where are you going?
Japan.
Somewhere with good weather and water.
Yeah. Japan. Japan or
Gaijin.
Korea. Yeah, Japan or
Joe
Korea.
Joe Gaijin.
You know, I'm gonna be honest. That culture,
I don't know if that one would.
That that culture has always appealed intrigued to me.
Yeah, if you're a ball player and you're like a ball player's ball player,
it's not even the baseball. I'm talking like
just the whole. I'm saying that.
Like, yeah,
guys the love whole that. Thing about they love
it.
That
honestly, I think the Zen part of it kind of really
it tunes into it more. I agree. Yeah, I agree.
Yeah, no, I'm.
You remember the old Tom Selleck movie, Mr. Baseball?
Yeah, actually,
that was a pretty
unbelievably saw that for the first time in my life about a month ago. That was him swinging.
And
the
that
bat.
Was well, he could really hit.
Yeah. I was going, you got to be kidding me.
He'd go to spring training with the Tigers.
Yeah, then
swing.
I read up on it.
Yeah, but the culture that was the initiation. Like they didn't Hollywood that out.
Unlike Major League, where those swings on
Major League.
Oh,
but the culture,
nobody's hitting a home run with that swing. Dude.
But if you, that was the initiation of. The Asiatics and their baseball when he went over there. And you've seen a lot of guys that have gone over there. Look, Trevor Bauer's over there now.
Yeah. Now he's the heck happened to him? Okay, that's off the
off the field stuff there.
Is he ever coming back, Trevor Bauer?
I don't know if anybody's
all political.
Somebody gets desperate enough.
Yeah,
somebody needs an arm bad enough.
If somebody wants to take a chance on him, you know, I mean,
murderers come back quicker than this domestic violence stuff. He got proved not guilty.
I know,
that's what I mean. So, but it's that stigma that's stuck to him.
It's a shame.
And all these leagues are woke, so
if you're going off baseball and throwing it.
Yeah.
But his was, you know, he was a different personality. You saw that when he was with the Indians throwing that ball in the sun. No, but, you know, when he was in Arizona, he was a lottery pick. He was a top 4 or 5 guy when he got drafted. And he got to Arizona quick, and he had Kirk Gibson. And the problem is he keeps running into managers through that old school mentality, and he's not old school.
Mm-mm.
He had Kirk Gibson when he went to Arizona, and Kirk Gibson was like, get him out. He's gone. He goes
That's
to Cleveland.
Shame.
He gets Francona, and, I mean, he wore out of – now, you got to think about something. Your personality's got to be a little abrasive. Mm-hmm. If you wore Terry Francona out to the point where they were going to let you
he
go.
Was. Remember him?
Terry Francona's about his
beer and pretzels for the Red Sox and the.
Yeah, I mean, all those guys got to stick around. And like I said, you don't know all the. When a guy gets in that kind of trouble, you know, or gets investigated, you know, and the MLB decides to investigate you, they turn over every rock. And, you know, and you have no privacy, you have no. You know, and things could have come up within his investigation that they're just like,
Yeah, it might be worse than you think.
It's like trying to find Bin Laden, man.
They literally
go after every single thing. Start taking fingerprints, man. Like, they're
Oh, and you look at the gambling thing with Class A and the other kid with the Indians.
That happened fast, too.
They're never coming
back. Why did anyone think this wasn't going to happen? When you've made gambling into a, hey, have some fun with your family tonight and bet some games, and you think this wasn't going to happen? Yeah. Billions of dollars flying around?
Yeah.
Come on, man. All it takes is a prop bet. Your buddy, why don't you get hurt in the second quarter?
First pitch ball.
Yeah.
First pitch ball. First pitch of the game ball. Guess what? You put $100,000
on it. That's it.
I'm the starter today. I mean,
what fool thinks that isn't going to be something that somebody does?
Well, what you've done is you've given... Much like, you know, back when we were kids and chewing tobacco, when they started flavoring it, cherry, orange, you know.
Still was awful.
But the thing about it was you weren't playing to adults. You were trying to get kids to.
Oh, for sure.
And now what you've done is with gambling is now you've put it on your phone mm-hmm. to where, I mean, I know for a fact I watched it with my stepson who's, you know, he's a numerical.
I lost an 18 parlay on them Dodgers the other night. Believe it or not, can you even?
But the thing was, there's some 8-year-old out there that was firing for
Snell,
his dad,
and I don't win that game.
But again, there was probably some ten-year-old.
I want to call that 1-800 addicted to gambling. No.
Picking games for his dad, and he lost the same parlay. That's the thing now. Is you're seeing junior high kids, high school kids,
and they're
getting on.
The old days, you go down to the pro bowling store over there, and they have bowling balls with dust all over it, and you go in the back room, fill out your bet slip, and go.
Hand it in.
Hey, can I buy a bowling? We don't sell bowling balls, kid. Get out
of here. Our culture in our region is always, not to speak well of anybody, but gambling's always been, you know, firing on something. It's always been available. It's not going to.
When you get interested in the game between Weber State and North South Carolina Tech, you know somebody's gambling.
Yeah.
My wife was going, you're that interested in Wright State. Really?
I had a friend of mine years ago. And Tommy, when we get off air, I'll say it and you'll go, oh, my gosh. I had a friend of mine one time, and another friend of ours owned a spot in Warren. And there used to be some personalities in and out of it that obviously, you know, were taking games. My man bet 70 games in a weekend.
That's 70 a sign in of a football loser, weekend. Man.
Like every game you could think of, and he never left my buddy's place.
You bet.
36 hours straight, never left.
You're
and he's sitting there, they got three
TVs.
You know,
you
see, they got TVs gone. And God bless him. But, you know, and it becomes, some of it becomes a sickness, and it's a shame.
Those are the bookies used to love, the guy that fires on 10 games, because you're going to lose six and win four.
If you're lucky.
Lose, yeah. Nobody wins all 10, but somehow you can lose all 10.
Yeah.
And they love that. Yeah. They hate the guy that comes in with one game.
And we talked, I know Joe and I years ago talked about this, and Tom and I were just talking about it. When I worked at Delphi, you know, people, you know, they do parlays in football or whatever, and it was baseball season. I'll never forget. I was working midnights with a kid one time. He walks up, he goes, Jim, you know the game is better than anybody I know. He goes, who you taking? And I go, look, man, I said, I'm pretty good at this, and I don't bet it. What's that tell you? I said, betting baseball, forget
it's
it.
Tough, man.
And then you got Class A and them guys that are playing it, and you're putting your career. I mean, you got this wonderful life, and all
one
he was doing
swing
was,
of the bat, three run homer.
Well, now they're betting. Hey, does he throw a four seam or a splitter first pitch? You know, it's like flipping the coin in the Super Bowl.
Yeah,
crazy.
They've added everything to it.
Do you see a lot of that? Like guys talk, I mean, not betting baseball as minor leaguers, but betting stuff while you're.
No, honestly, in the clubhouse, we don't really
talk about it. Don't.
No, we don't. We don't really talk about it. We don't, especially not baseball. And I don't know of anybody who even really bets baseball in our clubhouse, which is good. You know,
yeah, that'd be bad no matter what.
Yeah, but as far as like NFL and everything goes, like college football, yeah. I mean, we're talking about it, but that's. To us, that's just fun. And
it's entertainment.
It, you know,
some people it's entertainment, some people it's an addiction.
Yeah, and it's, like you said, it could be either way. It could be extreme, or it could be like, hey, let's just do it for fun for a day. Not even a day, for 5 minutes.
And they're on that run with Chauncey Billups and that. All those guys playing cards.
That's and rough. Everybody that has their last 50 in Vegas, put it in your pocket. Scared money never wins.
Oh, no.
Ever. Never. And you don't chase money.
Gambling's like
can't
hitting.
Can't catch it.
Gambling's like hitting.
You try to win your money back, you're going down quicker than... It's a 50-50 chance, and you still can't win.
There's that movie with Al Pacino and Matthew McConaughey, and it was the tout lines. You know, you used to see on Sunday mornings, bet with me and I'll win you this.
Oh, yeah, heck
and
yeah.
They had that movie. And I remember Matthew McConaughey goes, winning's a funny thing. He goes, you jump on it when you got it, but it can go away just as fast. And that's anything, cards, anything.
It's the one time I won a lot of money in Vegas. Well, a lot
can you
of
walk?
Me,
that's the question.
When
I
wasn't paying
walk?
Attention. I have having drinks. It was a convention. I'm, yeah, go ahead, let that ride. But yeah, and all of a sudden I'm piling. When I'm sitting there begging for, give me a five, give me a, you don't win. That was the only time I won. Oh, yeah, give me, go ahead, play that. Just keep it going. Because you get a little bit of time where the luck comes your way, you have got to seize it because it'll turn on a dime and then you're losing.
So
and then
Joe,
you get mad at the dealer. What are you laughing about? Okay, those are some of my stories.
Joe, what's your next step now?
My next step.
Oh, what's your next step from here, brother?
Yeah,
what's
your
plans
for
it? And God forbid, because I know you're going to go till. If they got a 39, 40-year-old pro league somewhere
don't
in the
put him
somewhere
in that.
In the him,
Jeez,
no, but I'm talking about when he gets that old. If he ever gets it old, if they got a 39, 40-year-old league in the Himalayas, he's still playing.
Before he's inducted to the Hall of Fame, so that's our next
thing.
There
you go, that's it.
We got, well, hopefully one of these affiliates bite.
I ain't going to be a hopefully, somebody will.
And, you know, I get signed for this year, and the goal is still making it to the big leagues. You know, I want to debut. I want to debut, and, you know, if it don't work out, you know,
you don't look back and... Oh, I shouldn't have gave up.
Yeah.
I shouldn't have done that. You always be looking in the rearview mirror.
Exactly.
Just keep going.
Exactly.
The France kid's been in. He just got up, 31 years old.
Yep. 31.
11 years in the minors.
Yeah.
Independent ball, everything else. Chris Cost with the Phillies years ago. Same thing. He got the kid that got banned from Toronto. Oh, gosh. Chris. That guy went through like
Caldwell.
Yeah.
Well, we gotta get it wrapped up here. I see Carl giving me the eye, but hey, we're gonna keep people updated on what's going on, so you keep us updated. We will not give out negative news. So we'll say, Joe didn't. Nothing's going on with him right now. If it's negative.
And the other thing, real quick, Joe and another young friend of his that's within the Indians and the Toronto organizations We're going to be putting on some fantastic camps over the state line there. We'll make sure we get the dates out, get it out to people. Please take advantage, because like I said, when I got to have guest instruction, and I'm picky, I'm as nitpicky as it gets about who I let around our subjects and our clients.
And it is Diamond 9, correct? And the phone number is what?
Yes, Diamond 9, 330-766-6790. Please call straight through. Any help you need.
He gives a guarantee you'll make it to the big leagues with every order.
Okay.
That's a guarantee he gave me whenever he got whenever he brought me on.
No, mine was I'd get him signed. Mine was I'd get him signed. Joe's example. And we work, but you know, I'd hope he would. I'd hope he would.
Well, I got a couple. I'm 3-1 of my picks here. So I'm going with the Detroit Lions -8.5 Sunday. And I'm going with New England -5.5. And I want to thank TJ Perlene Asphalt. You can get all of your asphalt done with 330-540-2234. Go ahead, Jimmy. Wrap it up.
Hey, like we always say, we got some new ones. We got some, you know, some diehards too. We want to thank the Gatta families, the Roberto family, the Levy family, the Gray family, you know, the Levy Steel Group. The Candle Masons at Enzo's, the Den, Jesse DiGiacomo.
Yes, Jesse.
Jesse's great facility, great partner to help us do what we do. We got some new people we've been talking to, Sherry Gordon Salon, brand new location, downtown Warren. She's also got a health and wellness branch to it. The Sulik family, great supporter of ours. Montrose Auto Group, John and Mike Thompson, dear friends of mine. Hey, and shout out to our people who do a fantastic job, Minuteman Press. Any printing, copy needs, they're your people. Thank you, everybody. The response has been amazing. Have a great weekend, and pray for my man Joe that he gets a big contract and he can buy a Ferrari.
I appreciate it.
Thanks, everybody.